heart of a great nation is always captured by a simple man. America mourns today one who rose from the obscurity of the Oklahoma plains to achieve eminence as the maker of the mirth of a nation. The National Broadcasting Company joins that nation in tribute to Will Rogers. Little more than 30 years ago, Will Rogers was plain Will to his neighbors in Oklahoma. And the finest measure of the man is that today, as he lies in death, he is still Will Rogers. A career of brilliant success in several arts came between his humble beginning and his tragic end, only to sharpen in memory the utter humanity of the man. When tragedy stalked the skies over Alaska and brought down to death Wiley Post, the intrepid conqueror of the world by air, that was loss enough. But in the passing of Rogers, all America lost a friend. The head of the nation expresses the nation's loss. President Franklin D. Roosevelt has sent this message to the nation. I was shocked to hear of the tragedy which has taken Will Rogers and Wiley Post from us. Will was an old friend of mine, a humorist and philosopher loved by all. I had the pleasure of greeting Mr. Post on his return from his round-the-world flight. He leaves behind a splendid contribution to the science of aviation. Both were outstanding Americans and will be greatly missed. Will Rogers was the great layman apostle of aviation. And here, in tribute to his memory, is America's foremost war ace of the air, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker.
The passing of Will Rogers and Wiley Post affects me as deeply as it will the millions of their admirers throughout the world. Will Rogers was a friend of aviation, one that we can ill afford to lose. As a regular passenger on domestic transport planes throughout the United States, he probably accumulated more hours in the air than any other layman. He was a frequent traveler on the airlines of Asia, Africa, and Europe. This, his first adventure away from regularly established airlines, was his first accident. The spirit of the adventure always with him, he agreed to accompany his friend on an experimental pioneering trip to the far northwest in a new plane, over uncharted areas, without the benefit of weather and radio facilities enjoyed by passenger planes flying the air routes of today. They encountered conditions with which we are unfamiliar and upon which the meager details do not now permit me to comment. Because of such men as these, transportation in all phases has advanced to the high place it holds today. The comfort, convenience, speed, and security in travel can be attributed to these far-seeing pioneers who made it all possible. An adventurer accompanying a pioneer must hazard the result and penalty, which in this case has been the supreme sacrifice. The world will glorify these two noted figures and feel the most profound sympathy for those near and dear to them.
The memorial program continues from Washington.
From our Washington studios, we present first the Honorable Joseph T. Burns, member of Congress from Tennessee and Speaker of the House of Representatives. Mr. Speaker.
That Will Rogers had come to a tragic end in far-off Alaska, it shocked the people of the entire world. It has caused grief in almost every hamlet and home in the United States, where he has long been an outstanding and beloved character. Few men were better known than he. He was what might be called a pioneer in an entirely new field. His short daily newspaper comments and his radio addresses were read and listened to by many millions of people who had come to look upon him as a familiar friend. He applied common horse sense, plus his sense of humor, to national and world affairs, which made a distinct appeal to those who heard it. He spoke the people's language, entertained them, made them think, and exerted a wide and salutary influence. The book of his busy and useful life has been closed. There is nothing in it of which he need be ashamed. There is much in it of which his loved ones and his friends may feel extremely proud. He will long be remembered as a delightful friend, a great humorist, a true philosopher, and a loyal citizen who rendered a distinct and useful service to his country. His untimely passing will be mourned by all classes of our citizenship in every walk of life. In conclusion, may I add a personal word, expressive of my very great admiration and esteem for our departed friend, and tender my deep sympathy to his beloved wife and family. It was my privilege to have known him for many years and to call him my friend. Along with others in official life, I shall miss the delightful contacts which I had with him on many of his frequent trips to Washington. No one who ever knew Will Rogers will ever forget him.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We bring you next the Honorable Joseph T. Robinson, United States Senator from Arkansas and Majority Leader of the United States Senate. Senator Robinson.
Yesterday, in a tragic accident, two widely known Americans lost their lives. Wiley Post was a pioneer in aviation. His venturesome and daring spirit, his reputation as a humorist, was worldwide. No other man of this generation has equaled him in the ability to amuse and at the same time to inform his hearers. His gift in capacity for expressing in epigrams and easily remembered phrases practical and sound thoughts on current events and familiar subjects sometimes overshadowed his remarkable ability for clear thinking. It was, however, the wisdom, rather than the wit, of his remarks that made him the foremost figure on the platform in his time. Wit and wisdom, admirable and enviable as they are, could not alone exalt him to the highest station he filled in the affections of all who came into the sphere of his magnetic influence. Kindness and generosity, sympathy and charity, combined with good sense and tireless energy, made him the favored personality in every company he met with. Will Rogers, as a fun maker, never indulged in vulgarity. In private character, he was above reproach. Had he chosen to enter public life, he could have won favor with any constituency. His appeal from the rostrum and from the screen was to lovers of simple things and honest living. His influence was wholesome and stabilized. All Americans loved him for his goodwill, his cheerful disposition, his devotion to that which is worthwhile in a madly confused world where long-established standards are threatened with breakdown. The most widely known, the most universally beloved private citizen of this land has passed away. We will miss him, and we will need him.
The Washington portion of this memorial program continues with another distinguished member of the United States Senate, the Honorable Thomas P. Gore of Oklahoma. Senator Gore.
Sorrowing friends and listeners, I can say of Will Rogers, as Mark Antony said of Caesar, he was my friend, faithful, and just to me. I knew him long before his name was known to the trumpet tongue of fame. He was unspoiled by fame and fortune. He could walk with kings and keep the common touch. He was, in the truest sense, an original American. He was a Cherokee, an ornament to his tribe, an ornament to his race. He was Oklahoma's most celebrated native son. Oklahoma's most celebrated son. All his rivals pale beside him, as the stars beside the sun. He was America's greatest humorist. He shone with his own luster, did not shine with borrowed splendor. He had more than humor. He had a heart. More than talent, he had genius. Genius is universal, not national, not local, belongs to no time or place. It belongs to the race. It is the heritage of man. Will Rogers contributed more than his share to the sunshine, the joy, the happiness, the goodwill, good cheer and good fellowship, the sons and the daughters of men. But we never miss the music till the sweet-voiced bird has flown. Hushed and forever are all the happy hello folks. Hushed and forever his renowned alarm clock. Hushed and forever all the rippling laughter. Silent and forever all the sparkling wit and humor. Silent and forever all his mirth and merriment. And the silence is unbroken, and the darkness gives no token, and the only word there spoken is the last roundup. This day has seen the last of Will Rogers, but the world has not heard the last of Will Rogers. His fame cannot die. His name will not perish from the earth. Good night, till we meet again.
We now introduce the Honorable Patrick J. Hurley, former Secretary of War of the United States. Mr. Secretary.
Will Rogers was my lifelong friend. We were boys together in Indian Territory before that territory became the part of the state of Oklahoma. I have never known a cleaner, more manly, more brilliant character than Will Rogers. His private life was exemplary. His reputation transcends his own state and his nation. He was known the world over for his kindliness, his humor, his service, and his wisdom. No artist has ever portrayed more beautifully than the actor Will Rogers the pathos, the humor, and the strength of the American character. He was among the world's greatest news commentators. In a period when all the world has given way to sensationalism, a word of personal defamation, or one of intended injury, or a smutty story, never passed the lips of Will Rogers. With all of his great achievements, he remained always an Oklahoma cowboy. In the ranch shacks, in the prairie homes, on the vast prairies of our beloved and beautiful Southwest. Strong men, fighters, hard riders, tonight will shed a silent tear for their friend, Will Rogers. His great sympathy and helpfulness gain for him the love and the prayers of all those who are heavy laden. In the far-off places of the world, in the cities and towns, people in every walk of life will be saddened by the fact that a tireless worker and a great soul has crossed the bar. His services to his fellow men have been so great that they cannot yet be measured or fully appreciated. He was a philosopher and a humorist, a humanitarian, and a patriot.
The Honorable Jed Johnson, a member of Congress from Oklahoma, will now speak to you. Representative Johnson.
Oklahoma continues to join millions of other grief-stricken people in offering tribute to the memory of her two most distinguished sons. But these two heroes belong not only to Oklahoma and America. They belong to the world. So much, however, has been said about the great beloved Will Rogers that I think I might add something personal about my devoted friend, Wiley Post. More than 20 years ago, I went with Wiley Post to Lawton, Oklahoma, to see the first plane on exhibition in that section. That day, the young farmer boy caught the vision that would not die until he had twice blazed the trail around the world in his beloved Winnie Mae. The valor and courage of the great flyer and the acts of kindness and sympathy of the great humorist, friend of all mankind, will live on and on with undiminished power, and children yet unborn will be taught to love and revere their memories.
Our next speaker in this memorial program is also from Oklahoma and a member of the United States House of Representatives. We present Representative Josh Lee.
Oklahoma's two most distinguished sons and aviation's two most ardent champions today took off together on their last flight. Will Rogers was my hero. He was the big brother of the world. His wholesome humor always boosted the fellow who needed a lift. He took the sting out of political strife and poured oil on the troubled waters of international controversies. And now, the most loved cowboy in the world has gone to the last roundup. Wiley Post twice crashed the record in his flights around the world. Today, both houses of Congress passed a bill to purchase for the Smithsonian Institute the famous Winnie Mae, in which he twice girdled the globe. In his solo flight around the world, he stayed awake unbelievably long hours. And now, the sleepless eagle, with the greatest ambassador of good humor the world has ever known at his side, has taken off in the great white ship. Happy landing, Will. Happy landing, Wiley.
Before entering our Washington contribution, we wish to read to you a message from the Honorable Charles M. Curtis, former Vice President of the United States. His message follows. I am shocked to learn of the untimely death of Will Rogers and his companion, Wiley Post. The passing of these two outstanding Americans is a great loss to the nation. Our program continues with Bing Crosby, who sings from Saratoga, New York.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope lair, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy always. How often at night, when the heavens are bright with a light from the glittering stars, have I stood here amazed, and I've asked, as I gaze, if their glory exceeds that of ours. Oh, give me a land where the bright diamond sands flow leisurely down to the stream, where the graceful white swan flows leisurely along like a maid in a heavenly dream. Then I would not exchange my home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Oh, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
We return you now to New York.
One of Will Rogers' closest friends was Paul Whiteman. Paul told me today that when Will Rogers was last in New York, he invited him to come to California to play polo. The last words he said to me, said Paul, were these: "I've got plenty of polo ponies out there, Paul. And if we can't find a pony to carry you, Paul, I've got a white elephant. Paul Whiteman and his orchestra in When Day Is Done."
Thank you.
Continuing our memorial program, we take you now to London. Ladies and gentlemen, we regret that due to conditions over which we have no control, it is not possible for us to bring you the scheduled broadcast from London. We again present John B. Kennedy.
A man who knew Will Rogers well, as his friend and working associate, is Homer Croy. Mr. Croy worked frequently with Will Rogers on motion picture scripts. He brings us a brief, intimate observation of the great cowboy humorist, Mr. Croy.
I'm always being asked how Will Rogers wrote his stuff for the newspapers and magazines. Also, I am asked if he had anybody write his literary material for him. Their answer is no, never. He was very human about his writing. He always put it off till the last minute. His daily newspaper dispatch had to be filed by 1:30 in the afternoon. He would wait until the last possible moment, then rush off and pound it out on his portable typewriter, using one finger on each hand. Once I timed him, and he wrote his daily dispatch in just 12 minutes. Another question that I've been asked about Will Rogers is, was he different off the screen from what he was on? Again, the answer is no. Will Rogers more completely himself than anybody I ever knew. He never acted. He was just himself. Few actors contribute any lines or jokes to a motion picture. Will did, not only for himself, but for others in the cast. Here's a very human touch about him. His favorite food was chili con carne. Every day at the studio, he ordered chili con carne, and it was bad for him. It upset his stomach, but he'd order chili con carne just the same. His mother wanted him to be a Methodist minister, and in his youth, he considered being one. Underneath his gaiety and jesting, he had a religious streak in him. One time, somebody at the studio compared him to Mark Twain. Will became very serious and said, "Say, I couldn't ride on the same range with Mark Twain, but I think he can."
Thank you, Mr. Croy. An old friend of Will Rogers and of Wiley Post, Gene Buck. Mr. Buck was instrumental in bringing Will Rogers under the big tent of show business. He wrote The Follies for 20 years, The Follies in which Will Rogers first had his big chance. Gene Buck.
About 20 years ago, in searching for material for The Follies, I saw in vaudeville this singular personality, Bill Rogers. Engaged him and put him in The Follies for $175 a week. His record is well known. From there, this amazing personality conquered the stage. He next stepped into the screen, then radio, and in recent years has glorified journalism by the amazing chip of thoughts of his brain. He contributed something to this world it so sadly needed, this great and precious gift of humor. Bill's gone to the last roundup. He's gone to join Mark Twain and Ken Hubbard and Ring Lardner. And may, before I close, extend my condolence and sympathy to his lovely and dear wife, Betty, and his kids, Mary, Bill, and Jim. God rest his sweet and great soul.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Will Rogers was proud to be a part of the American theater, and the American theater in the voice of another of its great immortals, George M. Cohan, speaks its golden opinion of Will Rogers. Mr. Cohan.
I didn't know Wiley Post personally, but I knew hundreds of his friends, and to them I offer my deepest sympathies. I did know Will Rogers. I was not as close to Rogers as a great many other men in the profession, but I knew him quite well. At least I knew him well enough to know that if he had his life to live over again, he'd live that same life over again, from the very beginning to the end. Because Rogers was a natural. I think that Will Rogers was the most natural man I ever met. He was a natural humorist, a natural actor. He was a natural success. I heard a great man of the theater at a dinner one night, a dinner tended to Will Rogers, say that he considered Will Rogers the most successful success he had ever known. And he qualified that statement by adding that he had never met a member of the theatrical profession who envied Will Rogers' success. In the entire history of the American theater, I venture to say that there has never been a man better liked, or more loved, more highly regarded than this great American man we're paying tribute to tonight. They need build no monuments for Rogers. He built his own, thousands of them, in the hearts of the great American public. When the angels ask Rogers to tell them all he knows about this great world that he has just left and to which he meant so much, I feel sure that he'll reply by using that famous lead-off phrase of his, "All I know is what I've read in the papers." And then the angels will smile, and he'll smile, Rogers will smile. Rogers will be right at home with the angels. He'll be a natural heir, too. May God rest his soul.
Thank you, Mr. Cohan. Will Rogers was not only a fine artist, he was a fine sportsman. The sport he loved best was polo. And here is one of the greatest players of the game, Thomas Hitchcock, Jr., to pay tribute to Will Rogers, the sportsman.
Will Rogers was what we like to think of as a typical American. In him were combined at their best American wit, humor, shrewdness, and generosity. He was as rare as the finest diamond, yet his sparkle was a part of American sunlight. Will played polo because he loved the game. Off the field, He was a great humorist. But when he was playing polo, he was not joking. He would play with all he had and save his jokes until after the game was over. He was a true sportsman and played the game for the love of the sport. Will's enthusiasm for polo was only exceeded by the polo player's love for Will. He would always turn up when an important game was being played. He was invariably generous with his time and humor at polo dinners. His wit and facile pen were ever ready to help out polo players. I owe him an especial debt for such a service that I shall never be able to repay. He will be mourned by all polo players.
Thank you, Mr. Hitchcock.
This memorial program now continues from California.
We are here in California, the home of Wiley Post and Will Rogers. Wiley lived in Burbank, where he could be near the big air terminal and his planes. Will made his home in the hills of Santa Monica, overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and near the Uplifters polo field, where he played so often. Gathered here in the studio are a few of the many close friends of Will Rogers and Wiley Post, Miss Ruth Edding, Will Hayes, Darrell Zanuck, Fred Stone, and Colonel Roscoe Turner, representative of thousands of friends of Wiley Post and Will Rogers. First, Mr. Will Hayes, president of the Motion Picture Producers and Distributors of America, and a former Postmaster General, a man whom Will Rogers considered as one of his closest friends. Mr. Hayes.
Will and I spent the last Saturday together, before he flew north, puttering about in an old car in the hills. That was one day in a friendship extending unbroken and unmarred since years ago when I brought him to another Roosevelt who loved him, Theodore Roosevelt. It's very difficult for anyone who knew this lovable friend to feel or express any emotion tonight except shocking personal loss. Yet he was the world's. In kindliness, humor, and faith, a universal spirit. All doors open to him. Every family circle has an empty place. Belonging to the world, yet Will belonged to his own country as homespun belongs to a wearer. He knew these states inside out more intimately than any contemporary. Good deeds, foibles, weaknesses, all were tied and branded when he swung his rope of common sense, humor, and philosophy. The crime of sham was never his. He would want to leave a message of confidence and faith. Knowing his own people as he knew them, Will never once doubted. He was a convinced American. Will never cared for flowery talk. He had no gift for it, no use for it. He was kindly and simple. He said, "I never kidded a man unless I liked him." In the plain American language which he loved, I say, a man has gone west.
Many, many hours were spent together by Wiley Post and Colonel Roscoe Turner. Many plans that were to influence the future of aviation were discussed by these two great flyers. And too many hours Colonel Turner and Will Rogers spent barnstorming the country. Colonel Turner wishes to pay a few words of tribute.
I have lost two great friends. With the tragic death of Will Rogers and Wiley Post, the world knows the greatest loss it has had or will have for many years. The lives of these two men meant so much to millions of people. Not only were these men great in the eyes of the public, but they were greatly loved in the hearts of the world, the people of the world, the world over. Will Rogers cannot be replaced, duplicated, or imitated. There was only one Will. There will never be another. It was my privilege to start Will Rogers flying back in Richmond, Virginia, in 1926. I've flown him many times since. My dear friend Wiley Post, his exploits have been contributed much to the advancement of aviation. He has never been equaled for courage, physical endurance, which was so clearly demonstrated on his round-the-world flights. It is impossible to estimate what these two men have done for aviation. This is not only a great loss to aviation and the nation, but to the world, and greater still to those close to them during their lives. And we in aviation extend our deepest sympathy to their families. Their work and their deeds will live on as an example for us to follow.
Will Rogers will be remembered by a nation and its growing children in the many years to come for the great contribution he made to the library of motion picture entertainment. Millions will remember his simple humor and philosophies in such pictures as Judge Priest, Doubting Thomas, State Fair, Life Begins at 40, and Dr. Bull. It was at the Fox Studios that Will made these pictures, and it is most fitting that his friend and Polo teammate is here this evening, Mr. Darryl Zanuck, Vice President of 20th Century Fox. Mr. Zanuck.
For me, as a friend of Will Rogers, it is a consolation to be able to pay a parting tribute, but there is little I can add to what already has been said. To my mind, however, nothing can characterize Will so completely as a personal incident which happened some time ago at Santa Barbara. You all knew of Will Rogers as a polo player as well as a great film star. It was during a championship game. One of the players on our team was injured in the third chucker. According to the rules, unless we could immediately substitute him, we had to forfeit the game. Happening to look toward the stands, I saw Will Rogers sitting in a box. I rode over to the stands and asked him if he would help us out. He accepted without a moment's hesitation. Borrowing a pair of chaps and a strange horse, he took his place on the field and finished the game for us. We were defeated, but the best player was Will Rogers. In spite of his efforts and splendid play, he apologized to us, insisting that he was responsible for the loss of the championship. In the dressing room, while he was still apologizing, I happened to glance at his leg. It was in a cast. Without saying a word, he had played the game with a cracked ankle. That was the spirit of Will Rogers, the spirit that will live forever.
Friendship is a great attribute. One of Will Rogers' most sincere qualities was remembering to be a friend at all times. Once, many years ago, a friend, a man with whom Will had trooped the vaudeville boards years before, met with trouble, an accident. Will heard of it. He knew that man was to open a new Broadway show within a few days. Will Rogers also knew that that show must go on, would go on. So he canceled his own engagements and went to take Fred Stone's place in that show. Fred Stone will never forget that thoughtfulness and kindness. That is why he is here this evening, to pay homage to the dearest friend he has ever known, Fred Stone.
It would be impossible for me to express in words anything worthy of Will Rogers. The world knew him as a great humorist. I knew him as a sympathetic, loving, and tender friend. Friendships such as ours can never be replaced. The world suddenly seemed to stop. It's hard to think of going on without Will. I only knew Wiley Post a few weeks prior to their takeoff here. But he was a marvelous flyer that everybody knew that. One of the champions. Will couldn't be with a better boy. God bless Will, and God bless Wiley Post. Thank you.
Statesmen, royalty, commoners, Will Roger knew us all. He made us laugh, and when he wanted, made us cry. And it's many a laugh that Ruth Etting and he had together. They both served for that great showman, Florence Ziegfeld. Miss Etting is here and wants to sing a song that she remembers Will always loves. Ruth Etting.
Just a wearing for you, all the time a feeling blue, wishing for you, wondering when you'll be coming home again. Restless, don't know what to do. Just a wearying for you. Morning comes, the birds awake, used to sing so for your sake. But there's sadness in the note that come thrilling from their throat. Seem to feel your absence too. Just a weary for you. Evening comes, I miss you more. When the dark looms round the door, seems just like you ought to be there to open it for me. Latch goes tinkling, thrills me through. Just so weary.
We return you to New York.
The National Broadcasting Company has presented a nationwide tribute to Will Rogers and Wiley Post. Perhaps it is fitting to end such a memorial with Will Rogers' own famous words, as George Cohan reminded us. All he said he knew was what he read in the papers, with this to add, that he knew very much more. He knew the heart and mind of his people. He spoke to them and for them. His people heard him and loved him for the man he was.